Talk with me. Thank you that we have the freedom, that we have the relationship to be able to run to you at any time, no matter what we are doing, where we are, Lord. You are there, and we can run, and we can hide in you, and we can be loved by you. Thank you, Lord, for that kind of relationship that you've given us. And Father, thank you once again for bringing us here tonight, Lord, to worship you, to hear your word. And Father, I pray that you would speak to us through a very familiar passage. Do that needed work in our hearts, Lord, through your word, by your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening again, and you can have a seat. So, as I mentioned, the last time we were together, we are going through a handful of verses, essential verses to us. Most of them, if not all of them, will be very familiar to most of us if we've walked with the Lord any length of time. So with that, we can, I know that verse. We've memorized that verse. We've done Bible studies on those verses. And with this verse tonight, maybe we have read it for ourselves 100 times, 500 times, 1,000 times. Maybe we've listened to 2 or 3 Bible studies, 10 to 25 Bible studies, 100 Bible studies on this verse. But God's word is alive, it's powerful, unlike any other word, because it's his word. And every time we read his word and hear his word, his Holy Spirit brings that to life and brings it to life in our lives in a different way, because we're all in different places. And so our verse tonight is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Our topic is peace. Now, when you hear the word peace, what comes to your mind? All kinds of things, and we're going to have different ideas of what that would mean, because we're all different people. But what picture or scene do you think of when you know somebody just says peace? Do we think of like a pond that's completely still, or a calm flowing river, or maybe we think of spa music and the smell of a massage coming up, or a sleeping baby that's very peaceful, or we can think of majestic mountains or a quiet seashore, whatever. I mean, we all have that picture of what peace would be to us. Think about your most peaceful moment. Maybe you've had one recently. Maybe it's been quite a few years since you've had that. I don't know. But where were you when that last peaceful moment? What were you doing? How would you describe that peaceful place or feeling? Well, Jesus, the peace that Jesus gives to us is so much greater than that moment of peace, that feeling of peace. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." Now, some of these things that I'm going to say, well, probably all of these things that I'm going to say, some of us have heard at least once. Some of us have heard them 5 times, some 10 times, some 50 times. Sometimes we tell ourselves these things all day, every day. Again, but let them be fresh tonight. And for me, as I've studied this and I've meditated and I've taken walks with the Lord on it, you know, I praise Him because it's new, it's fresh, it's truth. It's exactly what I needed to hear and probably what we all need to hear to be reminded of. So Jesus' peace that He gives us. Now, we have peace with God because of the cross. We know, we're just going to kind of go through this basic thing right now. Okay, we know we were separated from God because of our sin. And Jesus took our sin upon Him. He paid the penalty for our sin. He went to the cross, died on the cross, taking our sin upon Him. Ephesians 2:14 tells us, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us." So He's our peace. We have peace with God because of Jesus. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But that isn't the peace that Jesus is talking about in John 14. That's not the peace that He promised. That peace was going to come when He went to the cross. It was a sure thing. And we have peace with God. But He's talking about something other than peace with God. He's talking about His peace, or the peace of God. And in the context of John 14, He was talking to His disciples before going to the cross, knowing He's going to the cross, going to die upon that cross. And typically, people talk about what is important to them before they die. If they know they're going to die, they're going to talk with their loved ones about the important things. Sometimes they'll give them their precious possessions or their last words of wisdom or advice. And Jesus gave the disciples, He gave us in John chapter 14, something that money cannot buy, yet it is priceless. We do have peace with God, and that is priceless, yes, but even more than that, Jesus gives us His peace. He left us with His peace. He said, not peace like the world gives. And the world gives peace. Well, the world gives anything, but the world gives peace conditionally, sparingly, and momentarily. Other people, can give us peace for a moment. Can be conditional. You do this, it'll all be peaceful. You know, that kind of a thing. But Jesus gives us His peace that is not conditional. He said, "This is My peace, and I am giving it to you." Now, you think about that. How peaceful is Jesus's peace? Just take a walk with Him with that thought. How peaceful are You, God? How peaceful are You, Jesus, knowing the end from the beginning, knowing that our lives are like a tale that's been told, knowing all the circumstances, knowing how it's going to end, knowing all these things, there is not a reason for Him to be anxious, for Him to not have peace, not even for a split second. It's a few definitions of peace. Tranquility. And these are such nice words. Tranquility, calm, quiet, restfulness. It means peace of mind. It means mental calm, contentment. And Jesus spoke this promise of peace to his disciples, to us, when he was going to the cross. The context of John 14:1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Right? Now, can you imagine how the disciples were feeling at that time when Jesus was telling them, "I am going to leave you, but don't worry, I'm sending the Holy Spirit." They didn't know what that meant. We want a person. We want to touch and feel. What are you saying? You're leaving us? And that I'm going to go, and I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to die on the cross. I mean, their whole world got turned all around. Maybe some of us have had some sort of event, some circumstance in our life where you just get the wind knocked out of you. It's like, what? Like an unexpected whatever it might be. It could be a death, it could be a divorce, it could be whatever. And you can't wrap your mind around it. Talk about letting your heart be troubled. But he spoke to them, "Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to give you my peace." The word troubled there in John 14:1, it means agitated. Just like the old kind of washers that have the agitator in the middle. Agitated. Now, some of the antonyms of peace, so the opposite of peace, is agitation. Now, hopefully the description of peace described you, and this does not. Agitation, distress, trial, worry, fear, anger, frustration. Disciples, I'm sure, were feeling all those things and so much more. And we go through those things, too, in our lives at times. Now, another definition of peace is freedom from disturbance. But that is not the kind of peace Jesus was promising and that Jesus was giving to his disciples and to us. Not a freedom of disturbance. That's the kind of peace I would like. Because then, of course, everything would be peaceful, right? If there's a freedom from disturbance, then I'm peaceful. But that's not what Jesus said. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have," what? "Tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Okay, I'm giving you my peace. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trial. This world is fallen. It's full of sinners. But I'm giving you my peace. I've given you my peace through my Holy Spirit, and your peace can remain through tribulation. The Amplified says, let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. That's Jesus. My peace, my perfect peace will calm you. It can calm you in every circumstance. You're going to have tribulation, but through it, in it, my peace can calm you. So you can be calm, you can be peaceful, just like I was on the boat when the storm came up and all the disciples were anything but calm. They were agitated, their heart was troubled. But Jesus, peace in the midst of a storm, that's what he promises to us. I think that's a really good promise, don't you? It's ours. It is ours. Colossians 3:15 tells us, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Okay, Jesus, you've promised me your peace. Now I'm being commanded, really, let the peace of God rule in my heart. Okay. The word rule is an athletic term. Again, we've probably heard this a million times, but just let it refresh us, remind us. And it means umpire. And you know what an umpire is in the baseball game, or a referee in the football or the basketball games. They are someone who controls the play, makes sure that the players act according to the rules in any sporting events. It's one having authority to decide finally a controversy or a question. And that's what God's peace, what Jesus' peace that he promised to give us, does in our lives. It's an umpire. It's a referee in our lives. The peace of God rule. Let the peace of God umpire. Let the peace of God referee. Let him blow the whistle when there's danger. His peace is to rule and reign in our hearts and minds, and that is to be the normal Christian life. We all want to walk in his peace, but that is to be normal for us every day, all day long. Peace through the tribulation, peace of mind, calm, tranquility, low blood pressure, all of that. His peace is not a special event in a Christian's life. It doesn't just come and it's like, oh, I had that wonderful, peaceful moment. It's supposed to be the norm. It's not just a nice surprise or a holiday from the stress, a holiday from the tribulation. It's to be the norm. So his peace is to be ruling our everyday life all the time. If it's not his peace, it's not faulty. It's within my own heart. The more God's peace umpires my heart, the quicker I will be aware when my peace is disturbed. If it's a normal part of the Christian's life to walk in that peace, to abide in that peace, then whenever that peace gets disturbed, I'm going to be really aware of that. Maybe the old me was so used to being frantic all the time that that's kind of like the default where you go back to, and the peace was like this extra surprise. But now it's supposed to be we're walking in this peace and something happens, and that's the surprise when we get a little agitated. We shouldn't wait for peace to come in the midst of trouble. We should be walking with that peace. And we shouldn't wait for peace to come to know the decision we're supposed to make and which way we are supposed to go. His peace that is to be ruling in our hearts is the guide. I always think of, with this illustration, with this umpire, referee, the guard, the one who, blows the whistle of danger is, if you're my age or older, you will remember the show Lost in Space and the robot, you know, danger, 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 Will Robinson, you know. Boy, have they come a long way, but things. But you know, he was actually very annoying. But that God's peace shows us where the danger is. This illustration I heard as a new Christian, and it was just like, wow, this is really good and a real easy gauge to put my anxiety or my peace to the test. And that is, if his peace is to be ruling in my heart, So it's umping my heart, it's refereeing, it's all, this peace is supposed to be abiding, supposed to be walking in that peace. Then when I come to a fork or a Y in the road, and I don't know which way to go, I don't go one way and wait for the peace. Oh yeah, okay, this is the peaceful. Okay, yeah, I'm feeling peace, I must go that way. It's, I'm feeling at peace, I have a decision, I step over here and I go, whoa, no more peace. If I go that way, my peace is gone, it's disturbed, he's blowing the whistle, danger, 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 do not go that way, that is not my will. And then I step back and I have that peace, and I step over here, oh, it remained. And then I keep going. Or sometimes it's a fork, and there's lots of different options, not just two. And so I do that each time. I take that little step to see if my peace still abides. That was just like, wow, I can do that. I can, if I'm walking in your peace, then I can know if my peace is disturbed. As a brand new Christian, I wasn't walking in peace. I was trying to figure everything out. Well, I have a peace about no, and I have a peace about yes. How do you like that one? You have a peace about both. Well, you know, what I needed somebody to do is to say, you know what? You really don't. Okay? You can't have a peace about yes and no. So let's walk this through. In fact, you're not even peaceful about either one of them. So let's step back. But when then you start walking in his peace, and you're it's just like you're learning to hear his voice, learning to abide in the peace and let his peace rule in our heart. And now we know, okay, boy, that one really disturbed my peace. It's just like, you know, sometimes you're watching something and you're perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden you are agitated. Well, your peace just got disturbed by whatever came through that way. You know, it's just a real simple but life-changing and, I can't think of the words, you know, this gauge, this is like, okay, now I know what his peace is. Now I know when my peace is disturbed. And his peace, as we said, is priceless. It is priceless. Why would we want to get off that path and have our peace disturbed? So Jesus gave us his peace, and he's very peaceful. And we know we're to have his peace ruling and reigning in our hearts and in our minds, but how do we do that? That's the practical thing. How do we do that, especially living in this world full of tribulation, living with all of the trials? Is anybody here with out a trial tonight? We all have them. And some are big and some are little, and they come and go, and some stay, and it's in this world you're going to have tribulation. So how do I maintain that peace in my heart and in my mind? I'm glad you asked. So turn to Philippians chapter 4, another wonderful verse on the peace of God. So, you know, you take one verse and it leads you to the next verse. My peace I leave with you, and then I want my peace to remain in you, and then let the peace of God rule in your heart and mind. And now we're in Philippians chapter 4, just two verses, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Now that's the opposite of peace. So don't be unpeaceful. Don't be anxious for Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So how do we maintain that peace? Peace of mind, peace of heart. How do we do that? By prayer and supplication to God, talking to him all day long, about everything. I hope you do that. He is the only person who will not get tired of you talking all day long. Talk to him. Pray about everything. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, casting your cares upon him because he cares for you. That's be anxious for nothing, but in everything, pray. Ask the Lord, take this from me. How can I walk through this? This is bothering me. This is troubling me. On and on and on. Cast your cares on him. Psalm 55:22, it tells us to roll our burdens on the Lord and he shall sustain us. It says, cast the whole weight of the matter. So all the agitation, all the frustration, all the everything, just cast it on him and walk in that peace. Sometimes our peace is disturbed. It's gone because we are talking to other people about all our worries and our anxieties instead of talking to the Lord. So he's the one that promises the peace when we pray about everything. It's good to talk with people at times, to get counsel, to just have somebody to listen to you. But if all I'm doing is talking about my problem, the peace is just gone. How can peace remain when I'm focused on the anxiety and the worries and the troubles? Sometimes that peace is gone, not because we're talking to other people, but we are certainly talking to ourselves all day long and trying to figure it all out and trying to fix whatever the problem is, whatever the agitation is, whatever the anxiety is, the trouble, the trial. How much truth is in the words to this very old song? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Is that the truth? We forfeit our peace. Means he's given us his peace, and now I'm going to just lay it down because I'm not talking with him about the troubles of my heart. I'm forfeiting that peace, needless pain, because I don't carry everything to him in prayer. I hope that as you've walked with the Lord and as you're growing with the Lord, you're talking with him more and more and more and more. Prayer is preventative to worry and anxiety. If you're a praying person, if you talk to the Lord all the time, you are preventing worry and anxiety in your life because you're constantly talking to him. You're constantly giving it over to him. There are some pretty big things in our lives, some pretty painful things that just don't go away given the circumstance. And so you talk to him about them over and over. You're giving him your cares, your worries over and over and over again. And his promise in verse 7 in Philippians is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. His peace is a guard, and that can be translated a watcher in advance. Again, it's that umpire, that referee, his Holy Spirit who gives us that peace and blows the whistle when there's danger, or he then protects, guards that peace because I have talked with the Lord about it. I've cast my cares on him. Now, the next verse in Philippians tells us where we're supposed to keep our thoughts on whatever's true and lovely and of good report and whatever is praiseworthy. Jesus, he is the only one who can give us true peace. Peace isn't found in peaceful circumstances or calm waters or green pastures or abundance. It can be a benefit of those things, but it is not the source of our peace. He is the source of our peace. When our minds and our thoughts are filled with him, and Colossians tells us to let heaven fill our thoughts. So the things of him, spiritual things, spiritual themes, the word of God, our peace will remain. Isaiah 26:3, another favorite peace verse. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. If we can get to the place where our mind is truly fixed on the Lord, and it's just an automatic whenever anything comes by that's going to bother me, any kind of trial, tribulation, whatever it might be, where I'm going to, you know, my peace is disturbed like that, if I'm in the habit of constantly giving it to him and my mind is fixed on him, then his perfect peace will rule, will reign in my heart and in my mind. And in Philippians, it tells us that it surpasses all understanding. And haven't you experienced that? Where there is no reason, if you look at your circumstances and you look all around you, there is no reason why you should have peace. But you do. You have deep abiding peace. Now, sometimes, because we are fleshly people and we have human bodies, sometimes, even when that peace is ruling in our hearts and our minds, our bodies are not cooperating with that. So, and I say that so nobody condemns themselves, beats themselves up. Well, I'm trusting the Lord and I have peace, but, you know, I broke out in hives, or I'm having this physical thing or that physical thing. You know what? Sometimes your body doesn't know, it just reacts, but then you get your heart and your spirit and your mind in line with the Lord. Let your body do whatever it does to get rid of it, but that peace that passes all understanding. When that boat rocks, our peace can remain. And the Amplified, let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Remember that the peace that he gives is to be normal in our lives, just as normal as taking our next breath. And that's what he promises. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Now, some of us possibly are far from this. There's just a lot of trouble, a lot of anxiety, a lot of agitation, stress in our lives. So now you have a little more knowledge of what the Word says, of what Jesus has given you, and some practical things to put into practice, some more verses for you to look up, to take a walk with the Lord and to meditate on. Others of us, we know all of these things. We have some of these verses memorized. We practice it but not all the time. So it's a good reminder, isn't it? Good reminder for us. That's right. That's right. Okay. I'm not supposed to wait for the peace. I'm supposed to be walking in the peace. I'm supposed to, if I lean that way, my peace is disturbed, then that's not what I'm supposed to do, say, buy, go, whatever it might be. My peace remains. That's what I'm supposed to do. And then for others of us, we apply these truths. We try to apply these truths on a daily basis, yet we're still hit with worries and anxieties at times. Yeah, we live in a fallen world, and we will have tribulation, and we are human. We're not perfected yet. I would like to be able to teach these things and stand here and tell you I have it down. I have zero stress in my life. Though the storms rage, I stand calm, tranquil, and serene. I would really like to say that to you. Sometimes we can think the person that's teaching is doing everything they're teaching 100% of the time, all the time. That's not the case. We're aiming for that. But, we're all human, and again, we don't have it perfected. There are times where, I'll just fall apart, and then I get it together. Okay, Lord, that was, a little breakdown there. Okay. And, my peace, comes back and I'm settled. There's times where I have God's peace abiding in my heart and my body starts reacting. It's like, Lord, you know, we get hit, we stumble, and sometimes we really get the wind knocked out of us. But His perfect peace comes in and it calms us in every circumstance. And He does give us the courage, the strength for every challenge. I read a verse 2 weeks ago from the Living Bible out of 2 Corinthians, and the Spirit of the Lord works within us. We become more and more like Him. It's a process. It's a work of His Spirit. We want to grow in that. So we're reminded of these things. Maybe a few things were new. Maybe they were just something, oh, that's right, I need to put that into practice again, or it just confirms in your heart, yep, that's right, okay. I'm going to continue to have His peace rule and reign in my heart and my mind. So before we dismiss, I want to give a few minutes to let these things settle into our hearts and ask you a couple of questions that you can be talking to the Lord about while we get led in worship, just to let this sink in. Is there an area in your life where your peace is disturbed? Sometimes we can get used to it and not really realize it's disturbed. So is there an area? Ask the Lord. Lord, I thought I had peace, but after what you're speaking to me, I realize, no, I don't. Is there an area in your life where your peace is just completely gone? And then what do you need to do to have God's peace ruling and reigning in those areas? So if our little worship team will come up and lead us in a couple of songs, we can be meditating on those things and allowing the Lord to further speak. And Father, thank you again for your word that's true and that never grows old. Father, thank you for speaking, reminding, and help us, Father, to meditate on these things, to talk with you about them. Show us, Lord, Are there areas that we're anxious, we're agitated? Show us what to do, Father. We want your peace ruling and reigning in our heart and mind. And Lord, if that whistle has blown and we've ignored it, Father, I pray that you just do a work in our hearts, Lord, as we sit quietly before you.